Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, before we get started, I wanted to tell you that this episode is sponsored by Manscaped. You can use promo code PORCHTALK at www.manscaped.com. That's PORCHTALK, all one word. Get 20% off your total purchase order. Wanted to tell you a little bit about the Lawnmower 4.0. That is for the downstairs. You can go down there with confidence. I'm telling you, there is nothing quite like that. I have nicked myself several times down there in the past. It is not a fun experience. I don't recommend it. 0 out of 10, but for Manscaped, I give it a 10 out of 10. It is wireless. It has an LED light, so you can see what's going on down there. You could even use it in the shower. It's waterproof. The blades are replaceable when that comes time to do that. Also, it's wireless, and it comes with a tri-level power indicator. So at each 33% mark, it lets you know what the battery life is like. It's got a built-in relay on there to where you can't overcharge or undercharge it, so it you won't burn it up while it's on its wireless charging station. So that's very interesting. Also, I wanted to tell you about the what they call the crop preserver. This is anti-chafing ball deodorant. When they sent this to me, and this is a personal testimony, never heard of it. A buddy of mine had been using it for a time. He told me about it, so Manscaped sent me some. I gave it a shot. Absolutely loved it. It is designed specifically for a man's most sensitive region. This deodorant helps to create an anti-chafing barrier and provide freshness below the waist. So not only you won't be chafing, but you won't totally smell like a garbage can down there. So those are the two products I've picked out to tell you about today. Promo code PORCHTALK at checkout. Get 20% off. And at this moment, as it stands on March the 7th, they're already running like 40% off some of their package deals, and you can stack that 20% on top of that. Manscaped.com. All right, here's the show.
Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. This is a Zoom call. And we're headed out to New York. I got Mad Megs here with me, the band. And so, guys, I would like for each of y'all to introduce yourselves and what you do in the band.
My name is Igor. I play bass and I scream when I'm allowed to. Like back screaming. I do some back screaming vocals that only I can do in anywhere.
That's what manages the band.
Yeah, that's right. I scream.
My name is Ruslan, and I play drums. And I don't sing, I don't scream. I just play drums. That's it.
I am Jason Laney. I have been known to sing some harmonies from time to time.
My name is Dan. I play guitar in Mad Meg, and I also sing backup.
My name is Ilya. I sing the lead vocals, and I write songs from Mad Meg.
All right. And so tell me a little bit about the formation of how did y'all come together? How did y'all meet?
It all started at a bullet factory in outside of Riga. In Latvia.
That's right, Dan.
Started out as the house chess team of the munitions factory, an old decommissioned Soviet munitions factory in the Baltics, and it was an unlikely scenario in which we all became friends as a result of a romantic misadventure involving a nun.
I would be the one testing the bullets, which is how I got my scream.
And Meg would be that nun.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she was completely
mad. The nun. Everybody wanted her.
And she was really mad.
Yeah, she was a mad nun.
Yeah. You know, all jokes aside, not all jokes aside, some jokes remain. When we toured Eastern Europe and Russia, they would constantly ask like who Mad Meg was, and like I think eventually like Ilya and Dan, they made up a story of them going to Catholic school and this being this nun of them to whom they've lost their virginity to. I might be wrong, but I'm trying to summarize it.
Yeah, we made up a story to tell people because we had to answer the same questions over and over again.
Yeah.
The story was that we met when we were rivals for the affections of a nun.
I like it. I'm with it.
Yeah. So for those of you just joining us,
welcome.
This is kind of scripted, improvised podcast, yeah. Take two type of thing.
We had a failed intro on my end. I failed to record.
Yeah, so
now we have to act like we've never had this conversation
before. And like we've never met before.
I've never seen any of these people before.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's not making music with these guys.
Well, I was trying to get to the Pornhub. How the hell I end up here? I was looking for girls. Why is there like five guys in my screen?
I sent you a link. I tricked you into being here.
It's the 21st century, Ruslan.
You sent me the wrong link, man.
Now I sent you the right link. Now you can't leave.
Well, okay, then I'm going to do some stuff. You guys just don't watch, guys.
Ruslan,
you might listen.
Ruslan, while I have you, tell me a little bit about drums, man. How'd you get into it?
Drums. Well, drums is everything. I believe that every musician must learn how to play drums because it gives you so much ability to play and perform your music well. Through the drums, I learned how to play guitar and piano. And rhythm is everything. There's no melody without the rhythm. There is no dance without the rhythm, and you must learn what the rhythm is. And through the rhythm, you just can learn play any music instrument. Although I'm not a really great piano player or guitar player, but it helped me to learn faster.
But Ruslan does compose beautifully on the piano.
Oh, thank you. Oh, and nice. That's what I really felt when I was a kid in high school, and it's came to me. My friends just came and said, like, I'm gonna be drummer, since I always been, you know, knocking on the table and always beating some beats, and and this is my journey begin with this high school back in Kazakhstan, and since that I'm in Mad Mac, and yeah.
So how did you meet Igor? How did all this come together?
I think, just jumping back a little bit to the question, I think Ruslan is he's a beautiful drummer. as a composer, I mean, it's more like he stuff that sounds completely different from anything else he does. But I mean, as an arranger, I think he brings a lot to every band that we've been in. We've been in a bunch of bands, and we are in two right now. currently, me and Ruslan. I've been playing for like 15
years. Well, I can't, I wouldn't say it's a bunch of bands. I say it's just bands, you know, it's we're not looking for gigs or just play somewhere. We're all friends. We've been knowing each other for years. And at some point, our roads crossed and we just started to play music. And Ilya always writing great songs and I love his lyrics. And when he sent me his first demo, when he invited me to his band, he's like, let's play. And I fell in love in his deep voice and said, all right, I'm in. So, yeah. And I wanted to play because I really like his music and his vision.
His vision.
So, I think the question was when me and Ruslan met, and this was like, right? Was that the question?
That's right.
Yes. All of us. Yeah. When, I mean, Igor, this is my first friend I've met when I came to America. 2007, it was July or June. I think it was July. It was Little Russian Bar. And I met him there and I came with a friend and we started one band, which named The Clocks. And little by little, we grew up and we achieved some stuff. And later on, we joined to Mad Mag band. So yeah, it's actually one big family. Just playing kind of different style of music, which I love too. As a drummer, for me, is really cool that Mad Mag has more upbeats and more funky, classic, jazzy, bluesy stuff. And the other, my project, the more progressive rock, alternative rock, you know, more...
Our project.
That's why I have this... I satisfy myself as a drummer in both way. I can play some styles or genre as a drummer in one band and be open in it and be experimentative and very hard rock progressive in the other. So yeah, I'm happy.
What about it, Ilya? Tell me a little bit about the... Mad Mix, like what led you to want to pursue music, and just as far as being a creator, because I know music is not your only outlet. You also do the music videos and other artistic endeavors. How did all this come together for you?
Well, I've always been, you know, I guess as anybody else, a fan of music. Like growing up, mostly like classic rock, with like brief interludes into like punk rock and grunge. And I've always recorded my own songs at home. And like when we met when we started the band, the guys heard my songs on MySpace that I was just like posting shit on MySpace. And yeah, I got into it because, you know, my musicianship is not great, but I really like to create, and you know, music is a very easy way to create something out of nothing. You don't really need anything for that, and I really enjoy that part of it.
Right on. And so, Jason, how did you end up in New York with, I guess the rest of these guys are Russian speaking, so how do you fall in line here?
I moved to New York about 10 years ago. My first roommate when I first moved to the city she was Russian, and that was how I was introduced to these guys. I was running I was booking musical acts for a show in the East Village at a place called Happy Ending that used to be a massage parlor. And
is that the thing that Ruslan was looking for?
Well, yeah. this is how he found me. I was like, damn.
My MO at the time was I would just find bands that I wanted to play in, and I would invite them to come play the show and say, I'll record you. And, you know, I'll be there. My keyboard will be set up if you wanted to rehearse something or whatever. For whatever reason, they liked me and it stuck. And I've been with the band ever since.
I wonder why.
Sweet, yeah. Sweet keyboard playing. And I don't know if we've talked a little bit about what each of you do, but Dan, big fan of the guitar work, man. How did you get involved with music? What made you want to play guitar?
I've wanted to play guitar since I was a small child, like before I even probably could talk. So, you know, it's hard to say exactly what made me want to do it, but I always knew that I would one day. And then one day I got a guitar when I was a kid. And, you know, and then I just did. But it's almost like that point when I got a guitar doesn't even mean anything because I was sort of already a guitarist. You know what I mean? Like before that, I mean, I knew, like I just knew always that I would be
one. Did it come from that composer?
Yeah, my, one of my earliest influences is this Russian songwriter, Vladimir Vysotsky. And I heard him at a very early age. But I mean, you know, he's not much of a guitar player. He's more just of a fantastic Russian language songwriter, and he's got an enormous presence. So that's the first kind of image of a guitar playing, you know, performer that really made me want to do that. But he, you know, his influence is not so much of a musical influence as more of a, like a persona oriented.
Well, I would say definitely a poetic influence.
Yes.
And a powerhouse just in general. Because I mean that you know it's kind of hard. You know, there's some people in the world where it's when they get in the room, it's hard to focus on anything else. So he's that type of like attention magnet where you just kind of all your attention kind of focuses on him.
Yeah, he was very.
And he's definitely a legend. Not a great guitar player, but a great songwriter, nevertheless.
Perfect for what he, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Playing is perfect for what he's.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a phenomenon, historical phenomenon. If you're curious, you can look him up. I think I like that kind of the South, the folk country thing. I mean, there's definitely like a parallel that's going from that kind of guitar oriented Russian guitar oriented music, poetically driven to you know, Southern. Dan, are you smoking weed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you just rubbing it into Alan's face that he can't?
Oh, sorry.
Red state.
If it looks I'm dazed off, it's just because I'm looking at Dan having a great time.
I'm just fucking around. No, but I actually listened. I don't know if I don't think Jason, but like I've listened to all Vysotsky, most of his stuff, especially while growing up. I have collections and collections of.
Yeah, in other words, he's a huge influence on anybody who's
from absolutely. And just, you know, if not musically, then in other ways. I mean, he's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
So, Ilya, tell me a little bit about the songwriting process for the band as far as Mad Megs. Is it an idea you bring to the table and each of these guys bring their own work to it and y'all kind of form it as you shape the song? Or how does that work for y'all?
Pretty much, yeah. I bring a song that is just like written on a guitar or with some very rudimentary arrangements, and the guys really put it like they take it inside out and put it up, you know, upside down, and it really changes dramatically once it gets in their hands, and each one writes their own part, and then we play that song until it feels right. And then we play it in front of people until it feels comfortable and right, and it progresses as we perform it live. And then we record it after that.
Yeah, let me ask y'all something about this. It's like, I think there's three parts to a song. Just in my own experience, you have the practice to where you wrote it. And then when you first start playing it out, to a crowd and seeing how the crowd is going to ride with it. That's kind of like a rehearsal for the song to me, when you're just sharing it with other people to kind of get a feel for the room. And then, like, you finally begin to play it after it's polished. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of, so like, some artists, they record it first and then they start, like, taking the song on the road. And we don't start, like, we don't go into the studio until we've played it enough times in front of people, because that's where it actually, like, takes shape.
I think there's, like, you know, the two very original things about this band is that our musical tastes actually rarely meet. Like, we do not like we meet on some things. Like, we all love the Beatles, or you know, there's some other thing.
You can't stop talking about the Wysotsky.
Oh yeah, I can't. You know, I love, you know, Wysotsky is like that. That's my dude. But
Lennon, he's just my another dude.
He's another dude. It's two dudes. Two dudes just writing songs in two different countries.
I think that's a good reference point with John Lennon. A lot of people, when they think about the Beatles, he was the cool one. And then Paul McCartney was the guy who actually understood how music worked.
Mm.
And so, like, anytime you listen to a song that John Lennon wrote, like, the vocals of it would be just, like, flatline, right?
Mm.
But, like, when Paul McCartney wrote it, it would be a roller coaster. Or even with Ringo, when it would be like, what the hell are you talking about? So, like,
this is my Bible.
Every Beatle kind of brought something to the table.
You can't see it, Ruslan. It keeps beating. You keep disappearing in that moon.
You're like the Cheshire Cat with that background.
Yeah. Speak up, Ruslan. Let me see it full screen. What are you trying to show us?
Yeah, what are you showing us? We can't see it.
I wonder why.
Turn off the background.
I think Ruslan is like trying to come across the dimensions.
Yeah,
it's the Beatles Bible. It's when they say this is
Soviet Union. Why can't you see? I wonder.
Turn off the background.
How do you do this?
How did you turn it on?
Well,
how did you end up in space?
This is probably my fourth Zoom ever. So
you've been hanging out with Dan.
I'm not really a Zoomer. One sec.
They're actually a part of the Russian space program.
I mean, you gotta,
nothing really works.
Ah, my goodness!
The Beatles. Yeah, it says the Beatles.
Yeah, the Beatles. I wanted to say. No, we were talking about the Beatles, so yes, I would say the Beatles for me is a really good example for a band. I mean, this is like always been for me. I got inspired by their stories. I mean, not the sad part, although there is so many tragic stuff were going on while they were going up. But as a band, like, they were friends in the beginning, and then they become band, and this is really was always important for me, play not just with musicians but with friends. And I think in that with that the role model, music sounds totally different,
I guess, you know? I mean, you know, while we're here, and this is the second reboot, and, like, we can hash back with the COVID times, but I wanted to ask you, or all of you, thoughts on using different drugs for inspiration while we're talking about the Beatles, because that was a huge part of what they did. What do y'all think about using drugs to maybe help influence?
Musician is sober musician.
Well, it depends. What do you think about using drugs for inspiration?
I have no issue with it. I have no issue of taking a trip or doing whatever. I think there is a problem, like with some of my favorite bands, like Layne Staley of Alice in Chains, or even with Kurt Cobain, like drug use can lead to early death. But
I think
in moderation.
The thing is, like, when artists or artistic people become addicts, that's because they're in pain, you know. Mm-hmm. And but when people use drugs just for inspiration, as you say, or recreationally, that's a different thing.
Yes.
So, I mean, obviously, it's okay to use it for inspiration occasionally, as long as you're not an addict. But if you're an addict, that's probably not too good for you.
Absolutely. I mean, I gotta say that since we were talking about the Beatles, I mean, one of the things that I love and respect about the Beatles, they went through the whole pop spectrum, really.
They did.
I mean, they're one of the few bands that, you know, went from actual pop, like dance music, to really psychedelic, to ballads, to, I mean, they did the whole spectrum, and everybody else since then have been kind of, you know,
repeating
that. They went through the whole spectrum. If you know, we're talking about drugs, I mean, really, I know, I believe in balance the most. Anything in life, I believe in balance. So if it's too little, maybe not great.
No. I mean, there's it's not like, I mean, I can play drums when I high or
I think writing. I think Alan.
No, but it's really good too. For example, when you record the album, you know, sometimes maybe smoke a joint and listen what you're actually doing, because this kind of thing helps you to see what's inside. You know, you might hear more, you got more ideas probably of how to arrange or what to add or what to, I mean, it's when you're focusing, sometimes it helps. But in general,
kind of step outside of yourself.
Yeah, because, you know, it's, you know, everybody's different. For example, I always been working, and music was, you know, like a second part of my life. And sometimes, you know, living in New York, you work a lot, you do a lot of stuff, and then you're going to rehearsal, and you're trying to kind of, you know, relax, just take it easy, because you can't play music being rushed, you know, or tired, you know, you need to chill out and actually listen to music and play music. So sometimes, you know, like a glass of wine or some maybe weed may help you to be more focused and relaxed.
No, I mean, I don't think there's an answer to this question, really. It really
just answered.
I don't think there's a wrong answer.
It depends on the person, and it depends on the balance, and it depends on, you know, which way you're looking at this journey that you know, bringing us all together. And
I mean, guys, I mean, I don't know, like you know, probably cocaine, heroin, a bunch of shit like that. It's probably not too great at all, you know.
No, we're not talking about them,
right? And I mean, that is what's killed, like, you know, I think about Sublime. I think about Alice in Chains. No. You know, all those guys were taken predominantly.
You know what's funny? Think about it. I'm not funny. Think is a bad word. It was really strange that, you know, like they were doing actually on stage and people were watching them. I mean, basically, and then they just, like, you know, like famous rock star. They put it in the box and just like, okay, move over. I just like, basically, you know, like those guys sacrificed. And, you know, being all artists all the way, and kill themselves on the stage, and people just, million people just keep watching it. And yeah, that was a problem.
You know,
it was kind of strange too.
I did cocaine twice. The second time, to cut the story short, and this was the last time I did it, I ended up, you know, I was walking to Times Square trying to find a place to drink at. And then I became amazingly tired, and I saw a cardboard box at 42nd Street, which is like the center of Times Square. I see a cardboard box, and the first thing that comes to me, like, I want to sleep on this cardboard box. I fell asleep on the cardboard box. A homeless dude came up to me, kicked me, and said, like, you're in my space. And this was the last time I did cocaine.
I told y'all this would be more like Joe Rogan.
I can tell you this, whatever you did wasn't coke.
Yes, it's interesting how Ilya and Igor was saying about my space in different directions.
See, and just like that, we're more Joe Rogan now. We're having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we've got about 3 minutes before this one shuts off. I wanted to go at Jason for a second because he's been quiet. Jason, tell me a little bit about piano influence. Like, who are some people that you really listen to when you're trying to get inspired? Maybe today or yesterday?
My love was Billy Joel. My dad ordered like the greatest hits volumes 1 and 2 through like Columbia House, through that service where it was like, we'll give you 10 CDs for $1 and then never ask you for any more money ever again.
What kind of business plan was that?
Do not understand it, but Netflix. We got a lot of great CDs out of it.
It's the original Netflix.
Yeah. But they never moved on to what Netflix did.
No, they never did.
But when Ben Folds 5 first came out, that kind of like revolutionized the piano for me. Like, that was the first time that I really heard piano in like a modern rock context. Just someone just like the same way that I saw like Stevie Ray Vaughan like throwing his guitar around. Ben Folds was like throwing his piano stool at the piano and shit like that. And that was like, oh, mate, I could be a rock musician and still play this instrument that is not necessarily a rock instrument.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you were teaching before you moved to New York City. Was this like, is this what you studied in college?
Yeah. I went to music school, but as a vocalist. And then very quickly after I got out of school, I realized that there are a lot of fantastic singers, many of them much prettier than I am, but not that many skilled piano players. So I kind of started working my chops and kind of moving in a different direction.
All right, perfect. Hey, this is
he's an amazing singer.
So in the previous failed recording, we talked a little bit about the COVID years, and I was sharing with y'all how it really shut down the live venues around here, even the house shows. There wasn't a whole lot doing. So tell me a little bit about the New York City experience. Were y'all able to really play, or what was that like?
Well, personally, for me, it was like a good time that I'm, you know, feel nostalgic about right now, because we were getting paid pretty well, you know, for staying at home.
Yeah.
With more than I would make regularly, right? And I don't usually like leaving my house, so it was like an ideal situation where I was getting paid and I could, you know, like record music at home, and people were all ears because they were stars for culture. Nobody had a job.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To go to, so people listened to a lot of music and watched a lot of videos.
Yeah.
So it was the golden era of online music production.
Well, and not online, we made a an album and a music video during COVID.
Yeah, couple music videos.
Plus, each of us also did a bunch of our own projects as well simultaneously.
I mean, we actually, me and Ruslan, we were, I mean, we are in a band called Sons of Venus, which is separate from this band. And we kind of, like, during that COVID era,
we recorded two albums.
One album.
Two.
What do you mean two?
Well, it depends when you consider two COVID era.
Well, I mean, Sons of Venus recorded one album. Oh, well, I mean, if you judge, yeah. But I'm saying, like, at the peak of the COVID, the COVID era, when, you know, people weren't going outside and everything.
No,
we got in the studio.
It was emotionally actually a really good time for music because, you know, so much things was going on. People were feeling different and lots of death around here. And you're walking in a dead city, New York, by, you know, just empty and for yourself. I walked from Central Park to Prospect Park by myself during the rain, during COVID. It took me 4 hours and 30 minutes.
Was it sleeping?
Fell asleep.
Was sleeping. It was empty. And it was really interesting experience. And music is the best thing for a musician, of course, to impress yourself and all the things. So, you know, it was really a good thing to put into albums, which
it was a good that first year of COVID was a really good way, like, for I think for everyone, but I mean for me personally, of reflection and just kind of like taking a step back, trying new things. I mean, me and my wife, we traveled throughout the country. We kind of just, you know, when New York was in panic and everything was, you know, closed and people were really scared of each other, we just kind of got in a car and just drove out into nowhere. And
it was a plus positive for me too. Like, I got a lot of interviews with a lot of different singer songwriters and bands I probably wouldn't have been able to get because they would have been way too busy. Because they weren't able to do anything. And during COVID, like, we started the Porch Talk online concert series, to where I would invite people, you know, musicians, like, play for your band, play, or you play for an hour and I'll pay you $300. And we would broadcast it out on the live stream. And then when it was over, it was treated just like a concert. I would archive it, but the feed was gone. You know?
You didn't record it.
No, I did actually record it. That's good, Igor.
I'm just, as we say in New York, I'm just busting your balls, man.
Yeah, dude. And I need it, dude. I do apologize for that. I needed that. So, Ilya, like, with just all your creative endeavors, I imagine, like, COVID had to be, like, kind of a godsend for you as far as all the creative outlets that you're into. It gave you time to really get in there.
More than time, it's, you know, what prevents you from creating stuff is the anxiety that you have to do something else, or you have to, you know, make money to pay rent or something. That, like, creates an enormous mental block that prevents you from creating. And that time, you know, you didn't have to be anywhere. You could just, like, stay at home, and that anxiety was all gone, and you could really dedicate a lot of time to whatever it is you were going to do. And also, since a lot of people thought they were going to die this year, people were really easy to part with their money, and we raised a lot of, like, a decent number of, like, decent amount of cash for this album. Right, through crowdfunding.
Was that year or the next? That was that.
Yeah.
That was like 2020.
Right, it was.
Sure. However, as we say, we were also supposed to tour in Mexico at that time, and we were really taking off in Mexico during that period, the spring and summer of 2020, and everything just got shut down. We ended up never going there, even though we were like on the radio and in all kinds of magazines and everything all the time down there, but we never actually played live down there yet. We hope to still make that happen.
I mean, this record, Who Deserves Balloons and Medals, it was by one of the top radio stations, Ibero, in Mexico. It was chosen as one of the best of the year, I think. And then another radio station chose it as like a single, Waiters, as like one of the best singles of the year. Yeah, we got like a couple of one of the best of 2022.
Yeah, best video was in Houston.
Yeah, Houston Press. Houston Press did a thing like we were
Waitress, I think, like, was Waitress.
Yeah, one of the top 50.
Yeah, guys, I'm telling you, like with the music videos, yeah, the album, like everything that I've heard and watched of y'all, I am so impressed.
Thank you,
the musicianship on it, like the guitar work, the piano work, the vocal work. The videography on the music videos, guys, I have thoroughly enjoyed my experience of like being just overcome by Mad Meg, that silly nun. But how did this whole like reaching out to Mexico and all these different places around the world, like Igor, how did that take off?
Yes, I'm the guy that bothers people. as you know, I think in the previous interview we talked about that more. I mean, I constantly keep track of social media, and I try to, you know, as I've contacted you, Alan, I kind of bothered you for a little bit, for a couple of weeks, to kind of get this thing. Hopefully, not too much. It wasn't too irritating.
I was thankful for it because it really pressed me to where like I was really inundated with Mad Mex.
I mean, I've in Mexico, you know, there were a lot of like we got some press in 2020, and we were gonna go there. All the festivals, you know, were non-existent, and that didn't happen. And then, you know, 2 years later, this DJ found our music and played it on a radio, like a big radio, this Ibero radio station in Mexico City. And I kind of got in contact with him, and kind of things started happening there as well. But I mean, we struck a chord with like, you know, various people in different parts of the world. I think we kind of, still kind of doing the whole thing independently and everything. We definitely struck a chord with different people, different parts. I mean, you're in the South.
Yeah. And dude, we're silly with it. Like, I love putting this music on when we're hanging out, and I can't say what Dan was doing earlier, but if we were to be doing that, this is the kind of music we would be listening to if such a thing was happening. Ilya, tell me a little bit about the Lithuania. I can't even speak. Lithuania.
Lithuania
prison recording. How did that happen? I butchered that. But like, tell me, how did that happen?
Oh, yeah. We flew in for our Eastern European tour. And I think our first show of that tour got canceled or something. And our Lithuanian promoter, Jay, offered us to play in a prison because he had previously done something of that sort, like organized shows in prison. And, you know, we said yes immediately. We found a guy, a sound person who would record the live show, and we ended up with a live album.
I mean, we had a sound guy and a video guy. The video guy wasn't too great. so we ended up with just having an album. But the sound guy was pretty good.
We have a sound guy around here. He does sound around town. And he's legally deaf, and I find that the most
legally deaf.
Yeah, like I think he's been running sound for so long, like he's his ears is totally gone. But somehow he can kind of put you in there. It ain't where you want to be, but it'll get you there.
He's like the Beethoven of your town.
Something like that. Man.
It ain't where you want to be, but you'll get there.
So, guys, give me a little bit about the experience, Ruslan. What is a Mad Meg show like?
Mad Meg show like?
What am I experiencing?
You experiencing a very, very good experience.
Beautifully put, Ruslan.
Well, you put me in the spot. I wasn't prepared for this question. We're having fun. I mean, for me personally, I'm having fun. Guys, sometimes they get upset that I'm closing my eyes, but they're missing because they can communicate with me at some point. But I'm just zoom out because as soon as I'm on the stage and I'm just, you know, I'm there. And then I just wake up after the show.
What's it feel like touring around and playing this music out?
Well, that was fun. That was really. I mean, guys went to the Russia, one of the biggest adventure in their life, the Russia tour. It was like 28 something cities, and it was winter, and it was lots of interviews and shows, and I mean they had.
I mean, we went to Russia like 6 times or something. Russia, Eastern Europe. I mean, it really.
Well, yeah, but that was a pretty great experience, and when you travel with your music, it's probably the most fun and. Yeah. Experience, you know, you're not just going to see, you know, local library or something, but you actually can play in this local library.
We also found that Russian audiences were a lot more receptive than New York audiences are, like maybe in general, but definitely to us.
Yes.
But we felt very gratified playing there, and it was just a great experience. Like, all the clubs were super professional. The sound people were super professional. Everything sounded great. The audiences were very receptive. The whole thing was just a very warming kind of experience overall.
What do you make of your time, Dan? Like, since you've been with Mad Mix, like, what are some of your favorite memories?
Oh, favorite memories. Oh, we've had some real fun times on tour, especially, you know. I mean, some very interesting things that will last in the memory forever. I'm not sure if I can share them here.
Well,
maybe not.
Well, he didn't share them with us either.
You know, like even just the first thing that comes to mind is right now, as you ask me, is probably one of them is playing at the prison in Lithuania. Just because it was such a crazy and weird experience. It was just totally surreal, you know? I mean,
when I read that, I was like, how does that even happen?
Why?
Yeah.
I mean, we're available. We're available not just for prisons. We're also available for bar mitzvahs and birthdays and weddings and things like that. You know, but prisons as well. You know, we do it.
Kindergartens.
No, I mean we had. I mean, during tours, you definitely get. I mean, there was a show we played in. Was it Smolensk? There was like a like that. So we were booked at a huge, a pretty big club. But there were about 10 people, and two of them were skinheads who were just dancing throughout the whole show, and they were zikaing to, you know, doing that type of thing.
And the rest of the people, they were kind of
in the back.
They were like sitting by the bar, and those two drunk skinheads, they were the only like active members of the audience. So we played like, and there's like 7 of us on the stage or like 6. So we played the whole show to these two dancing Nazis. They were like our only audience.
And then they were like screaming like, you know, racial slurs, and they were, but they, in the end,
like they were really commenting on our Jewish appearance.
Yeah. Let me ask you, is that the Southern equivalent of someone asking for someone to play Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Mm-hmm.
maybe
I'm
not.
Sure, I got the reference.
Let me ask you something. Is that a when somebody does that, is that an ironic thing or are they serious?
It's ironic.
In the South, it's ironic.
Yeah.
These guys were not ironic. They were just
sincere.
No, I honestly, I thought
about how they thought we looked Jewish and stuff.
I mean, we do.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, we are.
But yeah, they were like torn between like enjoying the music and dancing to it, and kind of our weird Jewish faces that are didn't sit well with them.
I mean, I was thinking, when we get outside, they would be waiting outside for us, and like, you know, but that didn't happen, and they actually ended up being a pretty awesome audience. I mean, if we had, maybe our target audience are skinheads. I don't know.
Well, Igor, tell me a little bit about the guy that really opened up Lithuania to y'all. He's like friends with the president there, and like, to my understanding, there's like five people that live there.
Yeah. that summers up the last interview. his name is Zelvanus, with the last name, which I cannot remember off the top of my head, and I cannot pronounce, but I have it in my notes.
Schwarplus.
That's right. That's the one. But he likes to be called Jay. He lived in Chicago for a long time, and listen to a lot of rap music, and this is definitely influenced his lingo, so to say. He's one of the top promoters of world music in Lithuania. A really cool guy. He always said, you know, kick it from the heart.
Nice.
Right. Let's kick it from the heart, guys, right before the show.
Is that the equivalent of break a leg?
No, I mean, it's definitely a lot of heart in that dude.
No, just like kicking the heart.
Yeah.
More like tear their dicks off.
You know? Yeah. I mean, let's kick it from the heart and tear their dicks off. And then, you know, we would at least succeed at one of those.
And his catchphrase whenever he was like excited about something would be boom shakalaka.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I
mean, crazy stories.
No, but that's the guy that I was able to contact, and we're still friends. I mean, we talk on a regular basis. Hopefully, we'll make it out there soon again. But yeah, I mean, he's a cool dude. He's around. I mean, he knows Lithuania like from the bottom out. I mean, you could see him
from the kick of his
you could see him in with photographs with like the president of Lithuania to like, you know, you just walk around with him in the city and he introduces you to everybody, including like, you know, bums, which used to be who used to be former opera singers and things like that. So it's definitely an experience.
But guys, I want to open this invitation up. Any of you are welcome on the show 1v1, or we can do this again sometime. But just out of respect for y'all's time, and I apologize for my screw up earlier, I have three more questions to walk around the door. Question number one is, if you could tell the Porch Talk audience one thing about Mad Meg, like each of you, what would you say?
You guys go ahead.
I've been waiting for you.
We Porch Talk. Let me see. We love
Dan. I think you start, but
we love the porch. The porches are great. We would play anytime on any porch anywhere. So
Mad Meg is the name. Mad Meg is it comes from a painting. The band is named after a painting by the Flemish Renaissance painter Peter Bruegel the Elder, and Mad Meg is an anglicization of the Dutch name of the painting, which is Dul Gret, which means the same thing. It's basically this crazy woman named Margaret. And it's a medieval German fairy tale or folk tale about a peasant woman who gets a peasant army together to storm hell. And so that's what the band is named after, and that's quite apropos for what we really are.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Dan. And if we ever get to meet in person, I'm going to buy you at least 2 beers.
We have it on camera, so now you can't refuse.
All right.
And it's recorded.
Come on, yeah. Ruslan, you got anything that you would like to add to that?
I think guys described it perfectly.
Yeah. All right, so question 2, and all of you or each of you, is where can people go to find you personally? Or if you just want to be found by the band, where do they go? Are your other projects?
I mean, Brooklyn.
That was actually like my answer to... would be my answer to the previous question. Like, if there is one thing people need to know about Mad Meg is how to find us. And there are several ways, right? There we have our Instagram account, our Facebook account, our YouTube account. And they're constantly being updated. So there is always something new there. Igor, do you remember, like, I don't want to, like, fuck it up. Do you remember how to spell our handles on all the accounts?
Well, as a matter of fact.
it's okay. I'll do it. It seems.
Well, we don't have to say them out loud, right? You can post them, right, after? I mean,
yeah, exactly. So, but pretty much search for Mad Meg, the band, and it will show your stuff.
And we have a residency right now in New York City at a club called New Blue 151, which is a fantastic thing. And it's a more or less a monthly show. It's been great so far. Great audiences, great playing. The sound is fantastic. If you're in New York or swinging through, definitely.
We're doing this thing around us, but, you know, we're bringing other musicians that we really dig and, like, writers that we really dig and kind of, just doing a thing around the art that we like.
Yeah, we're trying to build a community around that venue. That will. Oh, well, we were doing that just a couple of months ago, but hopefully that will grow.
Yeah.
Into something bigger than us.
Yeah, it's a club called New Blue 151, spelled NUBLU 151.
I don't. Thank you, Dan. And my last question, and to that is, I'm very happy, like, in Columbus, it's a little bit different than New York City, obviously, but here, just in the South at Mississippi, I host an open mic, I have a residency as well, and, like, I've been working so hard as far as, like, culture building and bringing in new talent from bands that would never be here. Unless I were to invite them. And so y'all are definitely on that list, and I want to make that possible. Guys, I really believe in y'all. I thank y'all so much for hanging in there with me, even after we wasted practically a whole hour. So thank you. But my
that
last
was pleasure. Pleasure to meet you, man.
Oh, Ruslan, don't
get me hopefully started. We're going to see you down south, and we're going to meet personally and play music.
We're going to have a good time, Bubba, but my last question to walk it out of the door was, what was your favorite part of this conversation?
I really enjoyed your recording abilities.
Yeah, that was pretty dope, wasn't it, Delia?
Well, you took my answer.
You walked the right answer.
Alan, I thought you were a fantastic interviewer, actually. I mean, yeah. You know, you're very quick on the uptake. You hear everything.
Although you don't hit record all the time.
Yeah, well.
You know, I mean, you know, record or not, it's just like, it just was very nice Monday evening to spend time with you, have a conversation about music inspiration, and actually another reason us each see each other finally, because we don't hang out often.
Yeah.
Because everybody's busy and we haven't seen each other for a few weeks, and it's another reason to see. And
yeah, actually, we've been like only seeing each other like on Zoom podcasts, really.
So,
I second that. Ruslan put it beautifully.
You know, I gotta say, it's there's something cool when I speak to. I might be hallucinating or whatever, but there's like something cool when I speak to people from the South about music, and there's like a different take on it that's a lot more immersive, and like they kind of feel what you're doing, and that's a cool thing with you as well. So this was a lot of fun.
Open invitation to each of y'all. You want to come back on the show? I would love to talk music more deeply. We can talk about the Beatles. We can talk about influence. I would love to pick any of y'all's brain about the creative art, or like how you pursue it and your influence and what you're into. I would invite all of y'all to the table. This is, I've never done anything this big on the internet. That's why I was so like stupid about doing it. I had no idea how to do it. So thank y'all for y'all's patience. Like, we learned a lot tonight. I had no idea.
Thank you.
I think we all have our separate solo projects that we're doing. I mean, me and Ruslan are with a band, and Dan is releasing something soon. I mean, maybe we could, you know, do a separate thing about, you know, that.
Absolutely.
We'll figure out. Thank you.
Alan, are you a musician?
I am.
What do you play?
Give me just a second. Let me show you something. This was my COVID project.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
It's a compilation record of musicians from Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee. And I either sat in their garage or kitchen and recorded them off of my mics, or they sent me something. And we sent this up to Gotta Groove Records, and we had it produced. And this is my COVID project.
That's
really
nice.
That's amazing. That's cool.
It
looks amazing.
I love the cover.
I'd love to send y'all a copy. Like,
that'd be great. What kind of music?
It's mostly like folk. There's blues. There's Americana. It's very southern. I'll email y'all the tracks.
I was gonna ask if you could. We could listen to. I love the cover, man.
That's A. Parker's. He's a folk artist and also a folk musician. So he's on the record, and he did the record.
And is that a picture of you?
Yeah. I'm a slimy blues man. Even the flowers will sing for me. If we could get it, you could see like the singing flowers in there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, anyway, I can't tell you. Thank y'all so much for your patience, and let's go ahead and sign this thing off. And let's get together. I'd love to make some music with y'all sometime, right?
Sure, definitely. Yeah.
Let's talk. We'll talk after the show. Yeah.
Let's sign on out. Thank y'all so much. We're out of here. Okay.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Have I ever served you drinks? You look familiar. I'm grateful for your tips. Well, thanks a million. I'm walking down Bowery. So might as well step recovery from being an artist. Anonymously lost. Culture's downgraded to food, artists to waiters. Everything that I thought I understood won't matter today, so I'm walking down Bowery, Bowery. On my doorstep, recovery. Recovery from being an artist anonymously lost. Way to generation proclamation of our hanging up our aprons for occupational asphyxiation. We anonymously lost. I'm walking down a Bowery to my close step recovery from being an artist. Anonymously lost. I'm walking down a Bowery.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.